WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm going to call this a beautiful Sunday because it's low humidity. It feels great outside. 73 degrees on Peachtree. Today, sunny, hot for the next few days. It's going to be August pretty soon. High today, 88, lows upper 60s tonight. Tomorrow, high 87. Weather brought to you by Shoemate. Good morning. We're going to talk about a concept that is extraordinarily powerful right now. It's the real power of dividend investing. It's called yield at cost. And that helps us break through all of the tension that's in the world. Missile launch in North Korea this week to Japan. Markets didn't seem to care at all, but nonetheless, I would say disconcerting. Healthcare, every way you slice it, repeal, replace the skinny bill, the better way bill, all dead on arrival, gone. Let's move on to taxes. We talked about the Trump PR tsunami that's going to be, you're going to be hearing about in coming weeks. This week, the Fed did basically nothing in the July meetings. They left rates the same. Earnings continue to be through the roof. We talked about Samsung and Caterpillar, McDonald's and Boeing, all tremendous numbers. And we are out of an earnings recession that lasted in 14 and 15 and 16 and now 2017, first quarter. Profits from companies, which is really what matters for the stock market, up about 15% year over year. That's a giant increase. It's a very real number. Second quarter that we're about halfway through reporting, another double-digit type growth rate for profits. We're going to finish this quarter likely in the 12, 13, maybe 14% when it's all said and done in as far as earnings growth. That supports this market. And the primary reason why you see markets, despite the scary of the world, North Korea, despite the dysfunction in Washington, healthcare dead, you continue to see markets grind higher. What we want to focus on, though, is a longer term, more powerful way to think about investing than just looking at this animal on a week-to-week basis. And that has to do with yield at cost. What is it? Yield at cost is an investment's annual dividend today, divided by the original purchase price. So what you paid for the investment. And I'm going to go through some math, give you some updates on companies that we looked at around a half a year ago or a year ago here on Money Matters. Again, we are live on this Sunday morning. So I'm here to answer your calls and your questions. It's the fun part about Money Matters. It's the interesting, spontaneous part about Money Matters. And I want to do that again today. So opening up the phone lines right now, wide open to call if you have questions that you've been thinking about. Maybe you're headed to church or brunch or golf, hopefully, which would be nice to be playing on a day like today, a gorgeous day to be out playing golf or anything outside, whether you're going to be hanging out on the Beltline, cruising around on your bike. We are here on a Sunday morning to answer your financial questions. So if you've been thinking about maybe retirement and it's coming a little sooner than you thought or it's a little early, and you're trying to do the math on those numbers and maybe you read You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think, which is the book that has been a guide for so many folks about seeing if they can stop working and be in a position to retire, not necessarily having to retire, but able to retire, then we're happy to go through those numbers. Very often a pension is a giant decision, whether you take the lump sum, enroll it in an IRA, or you take the monthly amount as a cash flow for the rest of your life. Do you make it for your life, you and your spouse, 10 years certain, 20 years certain, 50% spousal survivor? It's a complicated decision, and the one that has more gravity than almost any other financial decision you can possibly make. Hence, we get lots of questions about, do I take the pension west? Do I take the lump sum? What's a happy medium? How do I do it? Happy to talk that through with you here on a Sunday morning. Maybe it's just an investment question. Hey, I have inside my Roth account these funds, these ETFs. Are they a good deal? Thinking about buying this annuity, that annuity. Is it a good deal or not, Wes? And happy to talk that through. Whether it's just with you or you and your kids and it's college funding or it's you in real estate or you and your spouse, really happy to help walk you through some of these really important life changing from a financial perspective, life-changing questions that could impact the next 20 and 30 and 40 years of your life. So happy to run through that here on a Sunday morning. Phone lines are open. The number here in the studio, live on the Sunday morning, give us a call, 404-872-0750. Again, the number 404-872-0750. If you are out of state listening in Texas, Washington State, Oregon, California, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Again, that's 1-800-WSB-TALK. And I'll go to the phones in a minute here, but I want to get to first this concept, yield at cost. And maybe, if you have questions that relate back to dividend-paying companies and stocks and ETFs and mutual funds, happy to answer those questions too. So yield at cost, as I just mentioned, it's really just the annual dividend that you're receiving today if you own a company, divided by the original purchase price, what you paid for the investment. So it's really just the math. It's just simple math that can be applied. It's really to any investment. It could be real estate, but we're talking about this in the context today of owning stocks. So a stock's current dividend amount divided by what you originally paid for the stock. And I'm going to give you a couple of different examples for this. And remember, you don't buy a dividend paying stock just for the dividends. Remember, total return, we're all after total return. It's not just income. I talk a lot about income, dividends, interest, distributions. But really, we're in this game together for total return. And total return simply is growth plus income. The reason we focus on the income piece is you can control that piece. Growth is more at the mercy of a market at any given year or span of time. Good economy, good earnings in general, markets lift. We've been seeing that. You can control the income piece, though. So we don't buy dividend stocks just for the dividends. We expect the underlying stock price to go up, to appreciate over time, as well as paying some sort of quarterly dividend. And what gets overlooked most of the time is how much income you're currently receiving in relation to what you started with. So, and again, the reason I'm bringing this up here is that as this market continues to bump towards all-time highs and grind higher and higher, it's important to understand and remember that we're not just investing just for yield that we can find today. Not just the dividends that I can get if I buy a stock today, the current cash flow, but the true cash flow yield that will grow over the next 5 years and 10 years. As an example, Lockheed Martin, just for a second. Go back to 07, so let's call it 10 years ago. Lockheed Martin was around $100 a share. $100 a share. Today it's $290. So there's been lots of growth and capital appreciation, but this is what I think is most impressive. In 07, Lockheed Martin was paying about 35 cents per quarter. So let's call it $1.40 per share on $100, right? So yield was about 1.4% back then. But they've had significant dividend growth. What they pay out to shareholders on an annual basis today, they pay $1.82 per quarter. That's $7.28 per share. Now, new shares are about $290. So if you want to buy a new share of Lockheed Martin, it'd be $290. The yield today, not a terrible yield, but only about 2.5% today if you bought it as is. Again, that's a decent yield in its own right, but take a look at your YAC, yield at cost. Your current dividend divided by what you originally paid. So the current dividend is $7.28. You paid $100 a share back in 07 when you bought it. That's over 7.25%, 7.28% on your yield at cost. That's really what you're getting from your original shares. That's a wow statistic. Never mind the stock's gone from 100 to 290 in about 10 and a half years. That's 190% return in itself. If you look at the total return with dividends included and reinvested, 10 grand would have turned into $44,000 or a 339% return. That's about a 15% compounded rate of return on average using a total return calculator. So it's not just the price going up, it's the price plus your original dividend and your current dividend. Disney is another example. Let's go back to 2008. $30 a share, paid 35 cents. Today it pays 78 cents twice a year. So it pays $1.56 per share today. It's around 110 bucks a share now. About a four, again, another 1.4% current yield. But let's look at the yak, the yield at cost. $1.56, again, the dividend today, compared to a $30 share price if you bought it back in 08. Now, that's a 5.25 yield at cost from the original 2008 price. You buy it today, it's going to, you have a brand new investor in it, it's a 1.4% dividend yield. If you bought it back in 08, your yield on original cost or price is 5.2%. Again, stock's gone from $30 to 110 in 9.5 years. That's about a 250% return in its own right. If you look at total return with dividends included and reinvested, 10,000 would have turned into 38,000 or a 283% return. Again, about 15% a year. IBM, same thing, 07, $95 a share. Today, let me check this. I did this a little while ago. What's IBM today is about 144 per share. So you get 2007 dividend of $1.50. Today it's $6 a share. So they've gone from $1.50 up to $6 a share. Today the yield for IBM is about 4.1%, but the yield at cost, if you bought it back in 07, it's about 6.3%. And this story just continues and continues. Johnson & Johnson, another great example. But that's really the power of being a dividend investor. It's not just the price going up. It's the amount you're getting per dollar you originally invested in. And that, to me, is the powerful dividend story that never really gets told. So think about the long-term power of what your yield at cost will provide over the next 5 and 10 years. If you are really thinking about income when you stop working at 60 or 62 or 65 or 60 or 70, whatever that age is, we want our stocks to be paying us and replacing the paycheck that we had while we were working. You are listening to Money Matters. A lot of great calls on hold. We're going to go to the phone as soon as we get back from quick news, weather, traffic. More Money Matters right here with me, Wes Moss. Visit wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com to read stories about yield at cost. If you want to contact me and the Money Matters team, easy to do so. We're right here in Atlanta. Again, visit wesmoss.com. Contact button upper right-hand corner. Stay tuned. More Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Welcome back to Money Matters here, WSB Radio. We've got a lot of great calls on hold. Let's just start with Jack in Snellville. That seems logical. Jack, what's going on? How can I help?
I listen almost every week, and I enjoy your show.
God bless you, Jack. How can I help you?
Well, and I hear you speak of annuities. Generally, most weeks has a question, and of course, it's too late for me to buy one because I've already bought one 7 years ago. I've turned 65, but I'm and not withdrawing any yet. I could draw 5% annually, monthly.
5% monthly on an annual basis, but 5% annualized on a monthly basis, right?
Correct.
Got it.
Correct.
What kind of it is it in an IRA or outside?
It is in an IRA.
Okay.
And you know, and it's just like you spoke of last week. It has two kind of balances. One is a kind of a cash value balance that I could get, or a guaranteed withdrawal balance, and you know, they kind of control that cash value. It can go up and down.
You know, I looked at a study there was a study of all the big annuity companies, and something like 92% of the time, the cash value that you have that you can get to is lower than the fictitious bucket of money. So that's just the way these things are designed. And part of it is because that fictitious, because your actual cash value has such high fees, it can never catch up to the promise that they give you in the fictitious bucket.
And that's the part I'm really concerned about. Once I start to draw money, and I don't need it now. I have a pension. My wife has a pension. And I know at 70, I'll be forced to.
Well, Jack, the big question here, and I'm going to hold you over and try to answer this as soon as we get back. So hang on the line here. The question is the difference between the fictitious bucket of money and the actual bucket of money. So just hang on the line here. We'll get back to you in about just a few minutes to answer your question. Jack from Snellville, hang on with us. You're listening to Money Matters right here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. Please don't. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here, WSB Radio. And we are going to go back to the phone lines. Your questions answered here on a Sunday morning, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK is the line here. We're going to go back to the phone lines, and we're going to go to Jack. Jack had a question about an annuity, and we very often talk about this variable annuity issue that people run into, where you've got a fictitious bucket of money that's supposedly guaranteed, but you can't get to the whole thing. You can just get to a portion of it every year, and then you get your own cash value. Jack, what do those two different buckets look like? What are the two different amounts inside of your annuity?
The cash value, like $440,000, and the withdrawal balance, $493,000.
All right, let me do some quick math here. If basically about 440 to 492, and this is over 7 years, correct?
That's correct.
All right, so that's not a big rate of return. So 440, if that's my present value, 492 is what I ended up with as my future value. And I did this over 7 years. What's my rate of return, Jack? The rate of return here is, and I'm going to compare this, your rate of return is only 1.62%. All right, and that's the number you got to really look at to evaluate these annuities. I mean, you could have left money in a CD for that entire period of time, and it would be worth the same. And if I go back and see what the S&P 500 did since, and again, you've owned this for right at 7 years, right?
Yes, sir.
September of 07, let's say, around? September of 2010. If I pull up a chart of the S&P 500, September of 2010, and I go to my timing, September 2010 to July 2017, 7 years, the S&P 500 is up 122%. And that therein lies what I think is the biggest issue in these annuities. Now, on the surface, Jack, you're not in a bad position, because now what you can say is, in order to cash this thing out, and you told me it's in an IRA, right?
Correct.
So you can cash it out with no tax issues. It's going to stay in the IRA. You can get out of the annuity, leave the money in an IRA, not pay any taxes. Yes, the other thing you can do moving forward is you can take the 5% a year off of the 492, the higher amount, and that will give you about 24 grand a year, 24.6 to be exact. And what the annuity company says to you is that you can take that now as an income stream, and that is, quote, guaranteed forever?
Correct.
Okay, even if the money runs out?
Correct.
So then I think what I would do here, I think there's two lessons here. One, the money's been there the money's been invested in this annuity a long time. 7 years is a long time. It basically has barely grown. It's grown at about a 1.6% per annum clip, which is effectively the same as a money market. So it hasn't done much, but now at least on your 190,000, you can know that if you were to start taking 5% a year from it, you're going, and you're age 65, you can effectively do that forever. So now you can add $24,000 in income to your overall balance sheet. And I think that that's got a little bit of value in it. If you cash it out, the other thing you lose here is about $50,000 worth of death benefit or insurance, because if you were to pass away, your heirs would get the 492, not the 440, right?
That's correct.
Which also makes it a little tough to cash this in, because now you lose $50,000 in life insurance. And it's tough to get life insurance at 65.
Correct.
So provided you, did you say you obviously have Social Security, but you also have a pension?
Correct.
And how much do you have is this your main investment asset, or do you have some other accounts?
About half.
Okay. So I would look at it this way. At 65, I would look at this as your third income stream. So you have Social Security as one, your pension is two, this is number three. And I'd use this, and I'd think of that less in terms of the 492 and more in terms of, well, that's about $24,600 a year for the rest of my life. And it has not been a good investment, and hence why I'm not a big fan of doing these annuities. You would have, even if you did half of the return of the S&P 500, let's say you had a balanced account inside of that, right? Even if you did the S&P's averaged about 15% or 16% since you bought this thing. Even if you did half of that, let's call it 7% a year, the money would have, so 72 divided by, let's call it 7%, it would take about 10 years to double. You would be significantly higher right now if you had just, if you'd done a balanced investment account. Let me see what that number would be. So 440, I'm going to say you would be times 1.60. You'd have about $700,000 to be working with. That's the difference here.
Yeah.
So it is a big, big difference. You can't make up for lost time, though. So I wouldn't try to catch up on this, but I would look at it and say, you know what? It probably, for your overall planning, it's probably a decent result, because planning isn't about maximization in every single area, or else we would never be risk adverse. It's about planning to what really works. And between social, your pension, and this, another $24,600 a year, I bet you that does a pretty good job at taking care of all your expenses, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Then you're good. Then I think it's fine. And I would, again, I this is not an annuity at this point. I would be bailing out of, because it to some extent, it ensures your current need. And that's what financial planning, Jack, is all about.
Right.
So thank you for your call, and thanks for listening to Money Matters every Sunday.
Thank you.
All right, man, take care. 404-872-0750. We got a lot of great calls on hold here. Where do we go next here, Crystal Wheeler? Let's go to, this might be quick, Paul from Atlanta. What's going on? How can I help, man? You still on the line?
Hey, good morning.
Hey, how can I help? Good.
Doing good. Bought a new car last week. Love it.
What'd you get, by the way? You didn't.
I got a 2017 Ford Escape.
Whoa, 2017 what?
17 Ford Escape.
Oh, Ford Escape. I thought you said you got a 2017 Florida State. That's what I thought you said.
My 2009.
Okay. So Ford Escape. Cool. Okay. So
haven't had a car payment in 2014 because I paid things off generally within a few years. So my question is, without bragging, my Beacon score is incredibly high. It's over 800. I was kind of shocked when I got a 3.9 finance from Ford. My question is, I have a home equity line of credit, 425, that's empty. Would it hurt me to pay that off? Because what I'm thinking is, because on a home equity loan, I can at least claim the interest on taxes.
Yeah, you can deduct it. And what tax bracket are you in, do you think? Just approximate.
I honestly 20%, don't
know. 20%,
25%? 30-ish.
Okay. So really, your 4.25 costs you really more like 3 if you count your deduction. But I don't even know if that's going to go beyond your standard deduction. Remember, you get a big standard deduction anyway.
Well, I itemize because I have a lot of other stuff going on, so I itemize anyway.
You do. Okay, so you would be able to use it. You know, I don't know. I would tell you that the effective interest, even though your HELOC's a little higher than the 3.9, but your after-tax cost of the HELOC is under the 3.9. I think mathematically what you're asking probably makes some sense, at least mathematically. Oh, you're going to pay a little bit.
What I'm wondering is that going to ding me if I pay it off so quick?
No, I don't think, no. So it's not, first of all, you've got a very high credit score. If you're over 800, Paul, that's about, I mean, again, it can be slightly higher than that, but that's very, very high credit score. You're not going to get dinged necessarily just because you pay this thing off.
Would it make sense to wait 6 months to the end of the year and start 2018 with the home equity and on a clean slate and get some payments in?
No, because here's the deal: is that when you touch the home equity line, if you just use a dollar of it, what you're effectively doing, and I know that this is probably not an issue for a guy like you with an 800 plus credit score, you now are effectively tying an asset back to the house. Effectively, you put your house in jeopardy, right? If something really bad happened economically, job-wise, again, probably not going to happen to you, But you never want to tie something as significant to a home onto something as depreciating as a car, even if the rate is better. And in this case, it's to some extent a wash if you look at the two. So again, on the surface, mathematically, I like where your head is. I think you're thinking about this the right way. I would just tell you that it's not, you don't get enough economic benefit or gain to use the HELOC to pay off the car. Instead, yeah, 3.9 is a little high for a guy like you with an 800 plus Beacon score. But what I would do, just accelerate the payments on the car instead. Okay. And instead of paying it off, what was the term? How many years? Did you do a 5-year?
I did 7 just to get the payment down.
Okay, so if you did the 7, then just re-amortize on your own. And this is what I've done on car payments. Just if you did a longer payment, 5 or 7, just re-amortize it yourself. Maybe double the payments, and then you shave off 3 or 4 years when it comes to how long it's going to take to pay the interest. In my opinion, again, this is there's really no right or wrong answer here. If you did it, it wouldn't be the end of the world. But I wouldn't tie my home, the value of my home as an asset, to a depreciating asset like the new car. 404-872-0750. I love this call. Love where we're headed here this morning. Let's continue to go to the phones. Let's see here. We've got, there's a lot of good questions here. We've got an out-of-state caller, it looks like, here. I can tell by the number. I'm going to go to Brian, who joins us on the line. Brian, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. How can I help? Where are you calling from?
Calling from Greenville, South Carolina.
Cool.
How are you doing?
Good. How can I help, man?
First of all, I want to say I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
My family has been with a couple financial planners over the past decade or so. And we've recently run into some suitability issues, and presently we're in the process of reclaiming our assets and taking them over ourselves. I'm not a financial person and don't really have a strong financial background, so I've been trying to read and educate myself. To do this, we've looked at some of Ben Graham's books, and what I'm trying to decide is, are we defensive investors or enterprising investors? And I'm trying to figure out where to go and what advice. We're actually moving to Atlanta, but we've talked with some advisors in Atlanta that, for our asset class, they were kind of on the bubble for what they want to take. And so just looking for some advice and what you would recommend.
You know, it's funny. There was an article in Barron's this weekend that talked about the robo-advisors. And then there was another article in the Wall Street Journal this week about registered investment advisors. And I participate in one of each. In full disclosure, I've got a registered investment advisor, which is a fee-only investment planning and management firm. And then I am part of Wella, which is effectively a digital advisor firm. And what's interesting about the cost, Brian, is that the costs have kind of converged a little bit, where the pure digital advisors, Betterment is an example, which is one of the first robo-advisor firms, they've actually increased their cost to provide human advice, because there's only so much. You can't charge close to zero and run a business with real humans, right? Mm-hmm. And that is the question I think that you guys have to answer as a family, you personally, and probably the rest of the family, is that, and by the way, I'm a huge fan of the Benjamin Graham methodology. In fact, I've written about his 50% bond, 50% dividend paying stock, low valuation stock strategy. I love that strategy, whether you're 30 or you're 80. But I think you've got to decide as a family on what level of cost are you willing to pay. Is it a quarter of a percent a year, or is it 1% a year? That's the range, right? You're going to get a lot of human advice at the 1. You'll get very little human advice at the 0.25. And I think if you can make that decision by talking to a couple of different firms, then you can find a really relevant strategy that matches that. But first, you've got to decide on how much help you really want. And in the new environment, it sounds like you're probably coming from a big brokerage firm, and you're going to end up with some sort of registered investment advisory firm. So I'd be happy to talk to you guys as well, a little bit more offline. Just send me an email through wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. We got to run to quick news, weather, traffic, and more. Money Matters straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Wes Moss here every Sunday morning. Check out in the front of the living section, the AJC, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, this Tuesday. I write about the three mistakes of unhappy retirees. One of the concepts there is this concept I've written about called the rich ratio, which is really just about the amount of money that you have in relation to the amount of money that you need. And it's a pretty simple ratio on how to calculate your income stream relative to, or your retirement income streams relative to what you need or you think you will need in retirement, and a really powerful tool to get you set up and feel comfortable with your overall retirement planning. If you have questions throughout the week and you'd like to find me and the Money Matters team, it's easy to do so. You can find us through wesmoss.com. Under the Money tab is where we write our financial stories. Today, one of the really important concepts we talked about today, particularly if you're headed into retirement or you're five, maybe even 10 years away from retirement, is this concept called yield at cost, which I think is the real power of dividend-oriented investing. If you're an income investor, this concept of yield at cost, these individual companies, it's not so much about what they yield today, but what they will yield in the future relative to what you paid today. And a really important concept to nail down. So if you'd like to find that, it's easy to do so on wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. It's underneath the Money tab. If you'd like to contact, or if you have questions throughout the week, you can email me through that website. There's a contact tab right on wesmoss.com. The emails come straight to me and the Money Matters team. Enjoy the rest. Thank you so much, A, for the Carathon this week. Your contributions were phenomenal for Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, the Aflac Cancer Center, $1.75 million. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of this wonderful Sunday, and stay tuned to the best programming on the planet right here on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB.